Really, for a while, so like, okay, you are right.
You are welcome here, more and more things to move in. Today we are going to be dealing with matters related to Brand SA. But before we do that, just our conventional items in the agenda. The first matter to deal with relates to honorable members who could not make it to the meeting. The first one is Honorable Makubela, who is having some emergency issues which are family related. We also have Honorable Sithole, who will not also make it to the meeting today. Honorable April, because he's an alternate, he's attending the meeting the other side of small business, because small business is in most cases clashing with tourism in terms of scheduling. So those are the members who are not going to be having here today. We take this opportunity to welcome the Department of Tourism, the representatives from the Department of Tourism, but also welcome the leadership from Brand SA who are here. They will introduce themselves later. Just to do the introduction, on the extreme right there, we have Honorable Moteka, who is a member of this committee representing the EFF. Next to him is Honorable Gumbi, member of the committee representing the Democratic Alliance. Next to him is Honorable Gumba, representing ANC in the committee. Honorable Taiko is next to Honorable Gumba, also representing the ANC. Next to her is Honorable Krambok, representing the DA in the committee. My name is Supra Obakeng Ramwelet Mahumapilo, ANC, but also presiding in the committee as the chairperson. The rest of the team that is here comes from the committee, the administrators, the researchers, and so on. So we are going to give the opportunity to the department there just to say who is here from the Department of Tourism. As soon as you are done, we can then give Brand SA the opportunity.
Good morning, members, honorable members and board members from Brand SA. I'm the Chief of the Parliamentary Liaison Office for the Department of Tourism and the Office of the Director General. Chair and honorable members and members, colleagues, my name is Stan Gidi. I'm responsible for policy and strategy in the Department of Tourism, Chief Director. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members and chair. My name is Tony Kanime. I am from South African Tourism, within the state of Navigation.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, honorable members. My name is Fikile Mahlophe, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer and the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, I'm Zanele Mgati from GCIS. I'm responsible for entity oversight.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Lumko Mkimde. I'm the special advisor in the ministry in the presidency.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Mpumi Mabuza. I'm the General Manager for Stakeholder Relations at Brand South Africa.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Thembile Ntombela, and I'm the Acting Chief Marketing Officer for Brand South Africa.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Thulisile Manzini, the Acting Chief Executive Officer at Brand South Africa.
All right. Thank you very much. We are pleased to see you today here, Brand SA. You are welcome. This is your home, so just relax. Yeah, you're welcome. Take it easy. The committee here took a decision, I think it was last year, as part of the sixth administration, that part of the work that we'll have to do will have to involve us interacting with as many stakeholders as possible. And one of the stakeholders we identified and agreed to interact with is Brand SA. Now, the reason why we want to interact with Brand SA is to meet you for the first time and you meet us for the first time. To understand what Brand SA does so that we don't assume that what we read we think is enough or sufficient. Understand the mandate, what you do, your program, what is the relationship between Brand SA and the Department of Tourism under which we have SA Tourism, how you work together, if you are working together, how often do you interact with each other, because our objective, all of us, is one, to make sure that South Africa becomes a destination of choice globally. So we will not be getting into your annual performance plans and APP and strat plan and all those things. So it is basically to get to know, as I've said, what is the mandate and how do you execute the mandate. Now, before we give you an opportunity to speak, this committee here, like other committees of parliament, we operate in the context of three responsibilities which arise from the Constitution of the Republic. The first responsibility extended by parliament to committees is to do oversight on the work that is done by the executive. Two, our responsibility also extended to committees by parliament is to make sure that there is necessary lawmaking in compliance with the Constitution of the Republic. And three, as a committee, our responsibility is to make sure that there is public participation. So those are the three areas of our work as committees of parliament. And we develop different programs to achieve these three areas of work. Just to give you an example, this morning we are from the management committee meeting. One of the things we were discussing there was how do we make sure that this responsibility of public participation, we enhance it in the context of a fourth industrial revolution, making sure that every South African who wants to interact with the committee can use an app or other platforms that we can provide to easily interact with the committee, make proposals to the committee, criticize the committee, comment the committee, ask the committee to do something, or ask the committee to resolve something on behalf of that South African wherever they are. So that's some of the things that we are looking at in as far as public participation is concerned. So we want to use technology to achieve that particular strategic objective. Now, we meet here today in the midst of some concern globally around coronavirus. Now, coronavirus, one of the implications is going to have globally, and in particular in South Africa, is on tourism. It's going to be massive on tourism. So we will have to say, in the context of the President of the Republic, having pronounced in the State of the Nation address that we must work towards attracting over 22 million tourists to South Africa, minimum in the next 10 years. How does this coronavirus impact on that particular strategic objective? Nobody could anticipate that we will be today talking about the coronavirus, but it's impacting on tourism. The ministers this morning and yesterday with other ministers were looking at whether South Africa should be discussing some travel bans, either generally or with regard to specific countries like China and Italy. So that decision belongs to the executive. But I'm just saying we are meeting here in that context. So South Africa needs to grow the economy in order to deal with the triple challenges which are identified in the NDP: poverty, inequality, and unemployment. So one of the key instruments we should be using to deal with this poverty, inequality, unemployment, it is tourism. Now, tourism faces a number of challenges, and this committee has discussed, and the department knows this, we have discussed the challenges of transformation within the tourism industry. And this year in September, during the tourism month, the committee will be reporting to the people of South Africa its assessment of how we have performed as a country in the last 25 years in as far as transformation in the tourism industry is concerned. So we'll not just be focusing on the BEE scorecard. So it will be broadly transformation within the tourism sector. In particular, we would want to see as a committee how tourism has been implemented to alleviate poverty, inequality, unemployment in every village in this country. We will also be looking at how tourism has been used to deal with poverty, inequality, and unemployment in every township in South Africa. From there, we'll be looking at tourism as it relates to its impact on every small town, small dorpies in South Africa. The reason why we are doing this as a committee, we are informed by Stats SA. When you look at the over-concentration and domination of poverty in South Africa, poverty is concentrated in villages. After villages is followed by townships, because you would know that townships were created as a reservoir of labor to pursue the objective of capital accumulation through colonialism and apartheid. So the townships becomes the second reservoir of poverty, inequality, and unemployment, and then your small dorpies, your small towns. The big cities, the committee believes that we must maintain and grow what exists in the big cities so that you don't bring down what is holding the tourism sector in the big cities. Our view as the committee is that our focus should be in the village, in a township, in a small town. That's where poverty is. So from a branding SA perspective, among other things that I will assume is that the rest of the world will have to know that if you go and invest in South Africa, this is how the country is. This is its nature, these are its realities, these are the opportunities, and so on. And we can't fail to tell them that we've got in the NDP poverty, inequality, and unemployment, and there's high expression of the three variables in villages, in our townships, in our small towns, and that we would want them as investors if they come here as part of us branding South Africa, to also invest their resources in the villages, the townships, and small dorpies. So in essence, it means South Africa will be undergoing three phases of development, of rebranding. And as we rebrand it, we reposition the country. As we reposition the country, then we renew. If you read the State of the Province addresses, the President emphasizes that point about us making sure that we renew our country. So it's very important for us to move in that linear direction, all of us. So that's the context in which we are meeting here. That was a way of welcoming you as a team, Brand SA. As soon as you have done your presentation, we will afford members of the committee an opportunity to interact with the presentation. And we are happy that the Department of Tourism is here, so that the left hand can know what the right hand is doing in a complementary manner. So we will now give over to Brand SA to take the committee into confidence. Over to you, Acting CEO Memanzi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. Our presentation, although it looks long in terms of the slides that are presented, I mean, that have been submitted, but it is actually, we will be able to shorten it so that we can encourage the questions at the end and understanding.
Oh, sorry, just before you go further, there are other visitors here that we did not recognize and acknowledge the media. I see we have got our friends from the South African Cooperasi, South African Broadcasting Corporation, Le Kota Kaso La Africa Borwa. La Mukhez Bahais, you are welcome. Jealous, welcome. Relax, you are also at home. This is part of public participation. I guess you will be informing South Africans on what Brand SA does and what the committee does. So we thank you for being with us here today. If there are other media people who are here, they are also welcome. Sorry, my sister, you can proceed.
Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson. The presentation will be done by myself. I'll give the introduction, and then Stembile, our Chief Acting Chief Marketing Officer, will deal with the introduction of Brand SA, and also the nation branding, plus also the Brand SA platforms and programs. And Mr. Mpumi Mabuza, the GM stakeholders, will deal with the issue of the collaborations with Telco, SAT, and tourism agencies, because by so doing, we tried by all means to then address the issues, what we have been asked to come and do as per the letter that was inviting us. Very briefly, Chairperson and members, we want to say thank you very much. We really appreciate this opportunity afforded to us, because a lot of people, even out there, they don't know Brand South Africa. And we see by the type of questions that we are asked, sometimes we are mistaken for being proudly South African. And today it is that opportunity where we will be able to then explain exactly who we are, what we do, and how do we then contribute to tourism, because we need to be very specific. Brand South Africa has been given a paramount responsibility of creating and promoting a compelling nation brand image domestically and internationally. But it is, having said so, I know exactly, and I am the first one to admit that currently the brand is bleeding. The brand is building from the issues of load shedding. The brand is bleeding from issues of your stagnant economy, attacks on foreign nationals, unemployment, particularly among the youth, gender-based violence and crime, and now what the chair mentioned, the coronavirus. And when I say the brand is bleeding, because we are giving that overarching strategy in terms of people looking at this particular brand, for people to say we want to visit South Africa as tourists, we need to make sure that we have a brand that is very strong. So every time we are kept on our toes to make sure that we develop strategies, and those strategies to help us to make sure that how do we deal with these issues, we do not sweep them under the carpet when there are issues. So our task is exactly to do that, to make sure that South Africa remains the top of mind destination brand globally. So those, and it is also important for me to mention that the mandate of Brand South Africa encompasses various pillars such as arts, culture, heritage, sports, tourism, people, expats, investment, and governance. And the outlook of the country is highly influenced by how well then the country performs on this particular issue. So today, as we share our activities, you will see how we work together with your DECO, with SA Tourism, to make sure that we make South Africa a better place to be, but also as also a tourism destination, that people think of South Africa when they want to invest, but also think of South Africa when they want to come and just visit the country. And I would like to end with a quote from Jose Philip Torres, who is a founding partner and CEO of Bloom Consulting. And I like this quote. I quote where he says, "If you don't work and manage your country brand well, someone else will." I close quote. And for me, having said that, I would like to then introduce Stembile to take the first few slides of the prepared presentation, and then that will be followed by Mpumi. I thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members.
Thank you, CEO. As the CEO has given a preamble in terms of what we do, there are areas that I'll touch on just to reemphasize the message, but also to take you through the programs that we as Brand South Africa implement in the, you know, in the markets. So just to look at the slide that speaks to Brand South Africa. Can you hear me? Sorry, I'm a bit fluid, but just do say when you don't hear me. So I'll take you through.
So when you see a bit fluid, in the mind, I'm sure you would
yeah,
know. But,
no, but it's not correct.
This is what is normal South Africa. Yeah. Okay, so
okay. Okay, I think it's very important to actually go through the slide simply because it provides context in terms of who Brand South Africa is. And as according to Simon Sinek, some of you might have seen, he quotes that brands that are so successful in life, you know, when you speak of Apple brands, it's because they've answered the why they exist. So it's imperative that we get our stakeholders to buy to the why we do what we do as Brand South Africa. So in my storytelling of this slide, it's exactly our start where we say, why do we do what we do as Brand South Africa? We want to improve South Africa's image and global competitiveness. So essentially, it's the outlook of how we've then narrated the stories and disseminated messages that are cohesive in the market space, both in the local market as well as international. And then if you look at our purpose, since its inception, the organization was tasked to lead with the domestic and global marketing initiatives of the country. And there's this reason as to how then does Brand South Africa contribute to the national priorities. Our strategy stems from indirectly contributing towards job creation, towards economic growth, poverty alleviation, and social cohesion. So those are the four pillars that often when we tap into our programs, we try and make sure that when the country is seen in a positive light, obviously we do attract investors and we attract tourists and even academics to come and study in the country, which then ultimately results in an improved standard of living for South Africa. And what do we do? Are we a PR? Are we a communications agency? Simply put, we are an official manager, official agency that was established to market and promote the country and manage the reputation. So our key job really is around the reputation. Whenever we are hit with those hard-hitting, you know, things, we have to react and seem to be the ones that are taking the lead. In this instance, it's things that the CEO has already highlighted, the brand disablers. So if you look at things like attacks on foreign nationals,
GBV and then coronavirus, it even goes to climate change issues. So because we have to be that agency that says, remind people that there is South Africa and this is what South Africa is known for and this is what we are doing to address the issues. And then I'd like to move to the bottom of the slide, which speaks to the South African properties, brand South African properties and programs. So when you're often asked, what is it that you do then that is owned by yourself other than supporting and amplifying what your stakeholders do, we've got what you call a Play Your Part initiative. It's a call to action program that we developed and launched in 2012, shortly after the NDP was launched, again to motivate South Africans to buy into this brand, South Africa, and rally behind the brand by being active citizenship. That's what the essence of Play Your Part is all about. Then we talk about the South African Competitiveness Forum. We get a multi-pronged stakeholders, so people from business, civil society, to come into a dialogue, and then we get the talking points of South Africa, what makes South Africa a competitive destination. So we look at all those reasons to believe and the competitive advantages that obviously these stakeholders feed into us, and then we champion the narrative of the country brand. The third one is a Nation Brand Forum. A Nation Brand Forum then seeks to speak to all the carriers of the South African brand indirectly. So it's your SAAs, it's your tourism agencies, it's your investment agencies, arts and culture, basically where we perform well, the musicians and so forth and so forth, to say, how do we promote this country in a cohesive manner? What is that single big idea that we want South Africa to be known for? And we champion that through that forum where we meet once a year, we then come up with strategies, and then the following year we implement those strategies. The next one is Global South Africans. It targets the expats. So recently we've been to Australia. Again, we want them to advocate positively because we know word of mouth is one of the biggest influencers in the nation brand space. And lastly, the Team SA, which we call a reputation program. So what we want ultimately as Brand South Africa is that for all these global events, whenever we host them, because we are seen to be this country that hosts and attracts global investors, we have to have a cohesive Team SA approach that sings from the same hymn book in terms of the messaging, the outlook of the country. You know, we know those frequently asked questions around, you know, brand disablers. We should be able to talk from the same point of view, to be quite honest. And then what do we say when we speak to our stakeholder truth? We say we are a necessary partner. Often there's that correlation there where they see us as competing, but as Chair says, it's complementary. The left hand has to know what the right hand is doing. And what we do is then amplify that voice on a global space. And then our point of view is that South Africa is an admired destination viable for business, tourism, and to study, which then supports the why do we do what we do. So in a nutshell, that's exactly what we do as Brand South Africa. And then when it comes to our value proposition, so when people often say, so how do I partner with Brand South Africa? We say our value proposition is a three-pronged one. It's simple and straightforward. We say we are the nation brand expertise, managing the nation brand reputation. Come connect with us. When we say connect for collaboration, and collaboration could be content as well. Like I said, we need your talking points in your respective areas because you are the gurus, so that we are able to then augment the storyline that we are telling of the nation brand. And we also said the third one, please partner on the Play Your Part initiatives, where we take your CSIs in your provinces, in your municipalities, in your working spaces, and then we amplify and we provide those as reasons to believe that South Africans are the make it happen type of a nation. So who we are, I won't dwell much. We were created in 2002, established in 2002 to create a positive and a compelling brand image, as I've said. And if you look at the two critical point of departures of our strategy, one is to manage our nation brand reputation to contribute towards South Africa's global competitiveness. It really is about advancing South Africa's competitiveness edge. And in this day, we are focusing on reshaping the nation brand or relaunching it as per State of the Nation address, where we are saying, yes, we are known for mining, we are known for agriculture, but let's just move now the associations more towards innovation, science and technology, particularly because we've made inroads in the medicinal sector, where we've done some quite nice, you know, innovation, and we're starting to project that picture about the brand. So that's the work that we're now doing in terms of relaunch. And then at home, we inspire and instill active citizenship as well as pride among South Africans. That's our presence. Currently, we've got country offices in UK, in the US, and then we also have in China, but it's currently vacant. And then there's a global market unit that operates from
the office in Johannesburg, where we do a shuttle mission into the continent and into other countries where we don't have manpower. And thus far, these are the countries that we've covered. Again, we cover these as through our global global units, global markets, where they tend to travel into other markets. For instance, they've been to your Qatar's of this world, to South Korea, where they are spreading the message and targeting South Africans residing in those communities. And how do we do what we do? We have with an integrated multi-channel communication approach. We've got a three-layered approach, as we say. It's proactive and coordinated marketing, communications, and reputation strategies that are underpinned strongly by an integrated communications and digital plan, as you see there, where a thought leadership space, for instance, is quite critical in influencing perceptions and opinion pieces. That's the space in which we are very much strong and target people that are going to be our advocates in terms of nation brand. And then this chap that you see, his name is Simon Anholt. That's the man who founded what you call a theory of a nation brand hexagon. He's termed the guru of nation brand. His view on nation brand as a subject matter is that every brand has a brand manager. Just like that is the case, so governments, cities and municipalities and provinces have to have people that are spear championing what you call the brand management of those aspects. Purely because you want to make sure that your brand remains top of mind. You also make sure that you want to deal with reputation issues when they happen. Just to take you back, we had the Poloni issue, listeriosis, where Tiger Brands, again, if they didn't have a reputation agency, possibly they would have been diabolical even now from a reputation. It's the same with country brands. We have to have entities that overlook, that have oversight in terms of how the country brand performs, and they are able to tell that story. So what Simon and Hodes really speak to is that a nation brand is then the history, it's the feelings, it's the sense around that which comes to the country that are key, that ignites that passion or an interest for people to come and invest or visit that country. And it also gives a common sense of identity. That's what the nation brand ultimately speaks to. And it says it's the sum of perceptions along these pillars, so which is why Brand South Africa then is peculiar in the sense that it does not only focus on one pillar. Ours is that we actually have to communicate how many exports we do as a country, the country of origin, because we know your countries like Germany, they've built good reputation, even Sweden, purely because they are letting and using the country of origin concept, which is what they are exporting as a competitive advantage. We also talk a lot about our people in terms of their skills and openness and their friendliness. There's culture, there's heritage, there's also governance, issues of governance, where we're starting to actually communicate and say we've got this most by the constitution. Yes, we are sorting out our problems currently with all the commissions that have been put in place. And then tourism is also one pillar that we also focus on, as well as investment and immigration. So that gives a nice perspective in terms of the work that we do, in that it's not only focused on one pillar, but it's this hexagon, which are constructs of six pillars ultimately. And why do countries engage in nation brand? It's very clear. Most countries are actually trying to tap into an investor's wallet to attract tourists, for inward investment and boosting of exports, as well as to improve the standard of living and quality of life. Because we know that if South Africa is seen in a positive light, definitely people do come. We've seen it before. They come and they visit our country, and then that has a ripple effect with everyone as they tend to benefit. It creates jobs and all sorts of positive things in the country. The next section of my presentation then goes into the actual platforms of Brand South Africa, where we've leveraged and promoted tourism in those. I spoke about the Nation Brand Forum last year. The theme was reviving South Africa's nation brand identity and narrative. Again, it stemmed from a State of the Nation address where the President did call for a need to revive the country's brand image so that we can fast track and advance things like investment and tourism. So that was the forum last year. It focused on that. And out of that, from there we had tourism team agencies as well as South African tourism. They were also part of the team that were invited. There were people from the business, so the country of brand origin. As you would see there, there was a Nando's there that represented the face of business and what brands that branch outside of South Africa could possibly do to enhance the reputation of the country. Again, we were inspiring South Africans to collaborate and find innovative ways
that could help us to tell the South African story better. And part of the things that we do is to bring to life the brand expression. So you'll see the culture, tourism, the arts, the people are always at the cornerstone of what we do as Brand South Africa. Earlier spoke about the opinion pieces. The Place Brand Observer is quite a nice platform to familiarize yourself in terms of observing what the other country brands are doing. And we'd like, as Brand South Africa, to target that platform strategically because we know that we are fighting with the economies that are developed, which is not easy because they are so much better than us, so the likes of Sweden. But our voice is always consistent. And we had an interview with Mariette Du Toit, also from tourism in Cape Town, who wrote a very nice piece on tourism in South Africa, as well as just stimulating in other provinces. Another program that we do is a Brand South Africa Masterclass. Again, a question was, how do we work together with provincial tourism agencies and so forth? And then we do. The answer is yes. With this masterclass, our aim is to promote one country, one vision, one brand, because we know that the winning or sustainable brands are the ones that are continuously consistent. You know what the brand stands for. It does not change. So what we are saying then, and encourage our tourism peers, is that, guys, this is what the message is all about. And this, and everybody has to be the part of this puzzle as we project South Africa in a positive light. So the masterclass is really about building a nation brand at its core that is unified, even though we're so diverse. And we do that through this class where we then say it's important to have one country, one vision, one brand, so that we don't contradict each other. I'm sure some of you have seen it several times where provinces and municipalities, they all say they are the gateway to Africa. But then what what you call this, the other side of the coin, is that people then ask, who is really the gateway? Is it KZN? Or, you know, Zitwane and so forth? But it's exactly why the masterclass is so important. We can't just call each other gateway. And our job as Brand South Africa is to sit with the tourism guys and then identify their unique selling propositions per city, per province, and then craft messaging that complements the overarching brand of South Africa, inspiring new and different ways. And that's really what we do with the masterclass. And the architecture, because every brand has its own architecture, particularly if it has multi-sub brands. We say at the beginning it's the nation brand, then followed provincial brands, cities and municipalities, and then a destination, whether it's a hotel or it's a, you know, it's a massage parlor or something like that. But it has to be aligned to one voice, which is inspiring new ways, and that's what we basically advocate. And then if you look here, we've also included some examples when we did that exercise. So in 2012, the cabinet made a decision for every province's investment as well as tourism to adopt one voice, which is inspiring new ways. And then we did these logos for cities as well as for provinces to say, look, even if we have our own, you know, like trade fairs, use creative ways of bringing the province to life, particularly when you know that a logo is not a do or die, nor is a slogan. And I think people get so entangled in the conversation of logos and, you know, and taglines. Yes, they're imperative when you build over time what the brand stands for, but in a nation brand context, I would simply ask a question, what does Japan stand for? What logo does Japan have? What logo does Sweden or Switzerland have? And the answer is, there's no top-of-mind logo that comes, nor a slogan, but those are strong country brands because they've decided to use what they're good in terms of brand construct, brand association, to tell the story of that particular brand. And as Brand South Africa, we are saying, together, let's bring those puzzles, the pieces of the puzzles, and let's tell the story of South Africa. Whilst we are saying, yes, we're going out there with one flag, because our flag is in the top 20 of the most widely recognized flags. So why stay away for it? Because this is not what we want to see, ultimately. I do apologize if there are other agencies, but that's what we use. Because now, I'm going to use Free State, for instance. They say, create yourself in the heart of South Africa. And then we come, South African tourism, Brand South Africa comes and say, but this South Africa is all about inspiration. That's when people start to say, actually, which is which? And all we are saying is the masterclass then, working together with tourism agencies, is to promote this cohesive look of one country, one vision, one brand, a brand that inspires new and different ways in many angles. We've seen as Ozibini, we know we already can do nation, we are determined, and our strength really does not reside in any other slogan except our values, because our values define our character.
And if you see and you ask South Africans, the common themes, determination comes through, diversity comes through, those are the words that really we need to say, how do we use those to tell the story in a more consistent manner. Also, when we promote investment, we do marketing campaigns. This one, unfortunately, I can't play the clips, but that one is largely, it was the CEO of tourism. When he was talking about tourism as a driver of economic growth, the campaign did extremely well, particularly this video, where the approach was to find CEOs of multinationals that are investing in South Africa to simply share one story. Why do you invest in South Africa? In that story, they also talk about the softer side of South Africa, so the culture, the people, the education system, and so forth. So this is just one of the ways where we now do campaigns and we then rope in the tourism aspects. We also do a lot of country AVs, which are really what we call positioning material. And some of these adverts, they are available on brandsouthafrica.com. And part of the storytelling is where we showcase our brand enablers. So our strength, our tourism is always part and parcel of our storyline when we tell these stories. And we provide and empower stakeholders that are traveling, including the tourism agencies, where we say, before your presentation, just go through this AV because it tells the story where you are coming from, which is South Africa and its strengths and so forth. And then that is the end of those programs, and we will then go through the other programs from the stakeholder side of things.
Thank you, Sembile. May I continue? In terms of the work that we do, in collaboration with the Department of International Relations and South African Tourism as well as Provincial Tourism, I'll just go take you through a high-level overview of that. What we wanted to start with one of our key programs, which is called the Global South African Program. It's a Brand South Africa-owned initiative where we try and identify with South African experts living abroad. There are a lot of South Africans in the diaspora, and a lot of them are positive about the country and still want to connect and support the country. We were recently in Australia where we engage with South Africans living in Perth and some living in Melbourne. And the mission for us there, or the objective for us there, is to empower those South Africans with messages and information and context that they can use to promote South Africa. We acknowledge that there are maybe some that left the country for different reasons, but we do find that there are plenty that are still there for they're there for various reasons, for commercial reasons, for job opportunities, and they still have family, and they still have a great affinity for South Africa. So we try and build advocacy amongst the South Africans, especially since our physical footprint is quite limited as Brand South Africa. We collaborate with DERCO in every country that we enter into. The mission there is our first point of call. We engage with the missions there. We also now participate actually in the training of heads of mission through the Diplomatic Academy. So DERCO will invite us and we'll engage with heads of mission before they go out. We'll engage with diplomats before they get out of the country and talk to them about the nation brand performance, take them through the masterclass and empower them also with some content and tools and advice on how they can access information that will support them in the work that they do in profiling the country also on our behalf in the countries where they'll be based. This is an example of the work that we did around the BRICS Summit, which is in Brazil. When the such programs are in South Africa, it's quite easy to collaborate with DTI or DERCO, but also when it's outside of the country, it's important for us to still profile the country and elevate South Africa and its role within the BRICS brand. So we do this in quite close support with the Department of International Relations. And then in terms of working with tourism, we collaborate quite well with South African tourism, as was mentioned earlier. We are always keen to support the work that they do. What's nice about working with South African tourism is that we enhance the work that they do. The tourism promotion is done quite well by SAT, and we acknowledge that, but for us it's important to collaborate with the entity. For instance, we participate in the Africa Travel Indaba, if I give an example of what we did in May last year, our focus was not to dilute the message that we were doing, but was to enhance it and also look at possibly engaging of some of our brand ambassadors or advocates. We brought in Ashoma Josie quite early on last year, and in there profile some unique elements of what the country has to offer to our guests. The next one is just an example also where we supported the National Department's Tourism Month activities in KZN, and here we brought in some of our Play Your Part brand ambassadors. The Play Your Part brand ambassadors are ordinary people that are doing extraordinary things, and some of them are influencers and maybe seem to be high profile and have a good following. But we brought in those ambassadors to the province, and they were able to also then communicate the importance of South Africans to travel and experience the country and explore the country, so promoting domestic tourism in a sense. Similarly, we did a similar thing in the Eastern Cape. We partnered with the provincial tourism department there. And here also, for us, the importance is to elevate the element of active citizenship, what the ordinary South African can do in their space if you're on the roads, if you're taking a drive through the country, to be safe on the roads and to be conscious of others that are also part of the road. So the mandate of Brand South Africa in support of that activity will try and filter it through as well. Here we were able to bring in place where it's a tour to Limpopo province, where we were able to bring on board Gagasi FM. So it's two provinces that can engage with each other. It's not an element of competing with provinces, but just to educate ourselves on what each province has to offer. Stembile mentioned earlier that we do have offices in the UK and US, China. We have a vacancy at the moment, but we do work also in other areas of the world. An example here that we have is a partnership that we did in China, where we were promoting South Africa, and it was called Discover South Africa Open Day, done in collaboration definitely with South African Tourism as well as the mission that side. Over 2,000 guests participated in that session. So on site, our programs will often infuse an element of tourism promotion, but also aligned to our mandate, talking about investment opportunities and other elements and studying in South Africa and other areas that we have to offer as a country. Similarly, we did the same thing in Qatar. It's a bit more formal in terms of the session, but it was a tourism trade workshop in Qatar and supported by the mission on the ground. In the UK, what the UK office has done well is sort of borrow from the Meet South Africa theme that the tourism agency has been running, and we've been doing these Meet South Africa meetings in different formats. For instance, with the cricket team that was on the ground, we borrowed also from that term, but it's just to link what the country has to offer beyond investments. We talk about sports as well. The South African team that travel, we try and leverage those elements and engage with stakeholders on the ground. The Mandela Centenary is a theme that we always, well, was a key theme for us in the past, but Mandela Day, Mandela Month or Service Month for us is an activity that we actually try and profile or leverage of in the US and the UK as well. We also try and showcase some South African cuisine and different elements. Where possible, we'll invite a South African chef, where possible, it's not always, but to try and just ensure that what South Africa has to offer is showcased when we are at international platforms. So that's just the rest of the slides are quite similar, and it was just an example so you can have a view of what we have. What I'll talk through is maybe what we did, for example, in the US with the Wynn South Africa first hosted the first African punk festival in South Africa. And for us, the collaboration there was with the organizers of the festival itself, but also Johannesburg tourism and the Gauteng tourism were quite key stakeholders in the plan. We helped create the slogan or the promotional line that all roads lead to South Africa, Johannesburg. On site in Atlanta, they were able to engage with potential visitors. They were able to actually confirm brands traveling from the U.S. just to attend that one festival, which was an important platform for us. And that's a quick overview of some of the programs that we do. And I think, CEO, we can maybe open up for questions. Thank you. Thank you, Jessica.
No problem.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, colleagues, for the presentation. We leave it up to the Chair on how we need to proceed moving forward.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the presentations, Brent SA. Honourable members, there's the presentation. It's now over to you. We'll start on the extreme right. That the mean.
Thanks, Jefferson. I could.
Damien did indicate to the committee that he will join in the course of the meeting. That Damien is representing the ANC in this committee. And then, honourable members, we did get the apology of the minister in the presidency and the deputy. Yeah, so we have those apologies. They are recorded, so we are aware of them having wanted to come here, but because of other commitments, they couldn't. But you represented them very well. That they mean.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. I got only one question here to Brenda say, is that as the tourism committee, how are they going to brand our village, township, and small towns? How are they going to deal with that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thanks. Ndata Muteka.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, our first welcome the presentation and also to indicate that someone is reading sort of duplicate of work or of responsibilities, because when I look at the responsibilities of SAT and Brand SA, one is battling to find the huge difference. To me, it's just duplicate, because, and again, the reason why Brand SA is not an entity of tourism is really questionable, because what they do is what SAT is doing, or is what tourism is has to do. And for it to be under presidency, I'm a bit confused, and we need answers. And because I think it can do well if it can be incorporated into SAT, because at the end of the day, the intention and objective are common. Because you can also ask yourself, Jefferson, what is that SAT is not doing and can not do and it doesn't have capacity to do, of which the brand SA was brought in to come and cover. That's why I'm saying the two can work together in one, in under SAS entities of tourism, South Africa. The CEO have spoken about the bleeding of the brand, and she mentions the reality. The reality is that indeed everybody knows that xenophobia, load shedding, unemployment, and lately coronavirus outbreaks in order. Also crime are causing the bleeding of our brand in South Africa. So, question is, what about racism? What about racism? More especially, the officially established racism, that is presented by the establishment of Orania. Because Orania is a place of only white Afrikaners. That is racism at an extreme. And they try, or they have their own currency called Ora within South Africa. So we have another country, many countries within this country, and no one is doing anything about it. It is killing our brand, you must speak up. It is also killing our brand. Because it is doing against the efforts of TRC, the efforts of all reconciliation processes that happened before. It is doing against it. So if it is wrong, it is wrong, and it must be crushed. So for branding our country, we mustn't allow those things. Otherwise, in the next can be a baby city, and then you have closer city somewhere else, and then at the end of the day, the whole country is just something else. We can't allow it. No one is special in this country. Again, Jefferson, one is getting to worry, because I don't hear anything that aims to benefit the most rural villages, townships, and the small towns. Out of all this, I didn't hear. Let's go to Brand Forum, if I call it correctly. Brand Forum. Who made that forum? I mean, which people are forming that forum, are coming to that forum? How many out of them are from the villages? Because my worry is, Chairperson, South Africa has been cut and minimized into a little country which is for the elites. Everything is done for the elites. Everything is done in the elites. Establishment or settlements. And it's not only brand SA, it cuts across many entities, just like that. The focus. That's why there's no movement of population from urban areas to the rural, back to the villages and to the rural areas, because everything is done in the city, and the cities are becoming overpopulated, and as a result, you will never win against this inequality, unemployment, and the reason why I'm saying this, look at the media that they used to outreach. It's elite. Mostly it's elite. Where are the SABC radio stations? Utsweri, Tola FM, Mugana Renele, and the rest. Where are they? They are not there. It's the likes of Kaya, Metro, and all those things. Because the main focus is on those who are already laid up. The rural and the villages are left unattended. 26 years into the democracy. So villages will remain the way they are. The way we took over from the apartheid regime, the villages are still that way. It's still the same. Go to the Shigi, go to Skukuneland, go to, you will find villages the same. Nothing has changed. Hence, we are surprised now if the plan, the smart cities, are still going back again to the urban areas. So what about the rural? Are rural people not part of this country? Are those villages just voters? Nothing. They must never be equal to or live like those ones in the urban areas. So when we promote our brand as a country, we must be broad. It must reach even those who don't even know what is SAT. I'm not talking about brand South Africa only. Even to me, it's new. South African tourism. Our people in the villages, they don't know that thing. What is it doing and all that? They don't know. Because no one cares about going down there. No one cares about it. So I think Chairperson, my cry was that the urban cities are overpopulated because our government, our focus is looking after the urban area. So everybody wants to go there. And then those who are left behind is their own thing. We'll see them when the election times comes. That's how it is going. Thank you very much.
Gumbi. Sorry. I think I'm sitting next to
Gumbi. Thank you very much for the presentation, and it's a big point of interest for me, and I think especially even when South African tourism is here, this is one of the points of interest around the reputation and marketing of South Africa. I've got a few questions because of that now. You spoke about using domestic influencers to promote a level of tourism in the country. What is the use of international influencers? Now, we've got, there was mention, for instance, of Miss World and the power that Miss World will have in that sphere. But Miss World now is a known and established brand just by virtue of winning the title. But even in the growth of the whole influencer sector, the power of that sector comes specifically from those who are not crowned or titled people. It comes from those people who have a following of between 30 to 60,000 people, and you have a person who is in France who is known to travel a lot, or you have a person in Nigeria who is known to travel a lot, and they simply market a place in the most authentic way. And I want to know what use of international influencers you do use in that category, and how many, for instance, around the world do you use, and what is your structural way in which you handle that? Do you pay them? Do you bring them into the country and say, experience 2 weeks? So every year you say, experience 2 weeks, but we want this many posts, and we want you to do it like that. The second question, and so-called feeds a bit into the first one, is your investment into social media. Now, I know that you do have a social media investment. I saw it as one of the pillars. But how much real money do you use in terms of investing in social media? And do you specifically use micro-targeting through social media? There are people who say quite explicitly that their big interest is travel, and they may travel ever so often, either for business, either for leisure or so, and do you use that micro-targeting as something specific, because a little bit of money goes a long way in that. The third question is, and you touched on the international embassies and that you have a small footprint around the world. And I'm trying to understand, and I get that you touch base with the embassies, and I think many government departments do so, especially when they travel. But what is some of your expectation, or what is your support structure necessarily to those embassies in trying to advance your own interests? So do you arrive at an embassy, in an embassy where you don't have a footprint, let's just say in Germany, and do you say, well, here is a package that we've got for you guys, and it is branded material that you can do any activation at any given point in time, and therefore these are the six protocols in which you can do it also. So I'm trying to understand, at that interaction level, what is your expectation and what is the outcome that you are getting from the embassies? The fourth question is, you touched on some stuff which does reputational damage to the country. GBV, attacks on immigrants. Now, for instance, I can understand you have attacks on immigrants. South Africa has a response to it to try to curb it. We have some social cohesion programs, and you would necessarily probably do outreach along those, especially in the most affected places. But I'm trying to understand, how do you manage, and maybe this is just my own lack of understanding the reputation management agencies, around issues such as, for instance, crime. It's a perpetual, long-standing issue that we have in South Africa by virtue of the social circumstances in the country. What do you do in terms of managing the reputation around crime? Because it's a massive deterrent from in many meetings that we've had for tourists and the brand of South Africa across the world. Similarly with GBV. And the last one in particular, so it's crime, GBV, that I just want to understand, and canned lion hunting as a specific issue, because that is something that is also becoming quite significant around the world, where South Africa is one of the only countries in the world that breeds lions for the express purpose of hunting in captivity. So that's on its own something seen as inhumane and as a problem. And the last thing is, with the outbreak of the coronavirus and the numbers quickly escalating, what is necessarily your response to that? Because I'm sure that's something that has surely locked you guys in a bit of meetings about the more this grows, as much as it is a world issue, it is going to be something that specifically for South Africa is going to be a problem, looking at the way in which it's now starting to slowly spread.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me start by appreciating the presentation from the Brand South African as one of the entities. Chair, my question is, it's not a question, but just to comment to say, tourism is not only about tourism destinations such as accommodation, entertainment areas, and many other things. Like you've already mentioned, that you also have our cultures and every other thing. My worry here, Chair, is that I haven't seen, you know, we must remember where we're coming from as South Africa. We're coming from a South Africa that was oppressed, a country that was not democratic before 1994. And I don't see any reflection of that in our presentation. Maybe we have forgotten, or we are shy to talk about democracy and how we acquired this democracy. We have places, Chair, which are still even having those destinations. And also in our calendar, we have Human Rights Day. Human Rights Day, which I didn't hear anything about its branding. As well as, you remember, it was
Sharpeville Day before? And why do we commemorate Sharpeville Day on an annual basis countrywide? It's because of the democratic wars which were fought in Sharpeville, and as well as Ilanga here in the Western Cape. I don't see anything said about it. Hence I'm saying perhaps we have forgotten where South Africa is coming from. And I think that is what is actually even making the whole world very much interested in South Africa. So yes, we do understand that we do have Hector Peterson, we have Mandela House, we have Robben Island. Those are very much, very well marketed. We really appreciate that. But please, let's remember where the constitution of this country was signed, which is in Sidi Bay. The same place where even Sharpeville is, and nothing is said about it. Chair, we're talking about culture and arts, art and culture, which is predominantly happening in our villages. We just see photos brought maybe to those heritage sites, but do we get those sites, do we get them visited by visitors so that they can see where the actual action is happening? Do we really market those destinations? Chair, we have Khosi Mampuru, where the apartheid regime government used to hang people, and the ropes are still hanging there. Maybe hence I'm saying maybe perhaps we are shy about our tourism, to tell our tourists where we're coming from as tourism committee, or not committee, but those entities. The world must know how our people used to be hanged. And Khosi Mampuru is one of those tourism destinations, which will actually make people see how South Africans were treated. But it is never really popularized. I don't know, maybe it's because there is this human rights which was infringed during those days. Coming to the tourism marketing, we have WTM. I don't know if I'm correct with that, WTM, which is normally annually happening in London, ITB in Berlin, and to Indaba. I've been to all those three tourism exhibitions. Chair, only the ETEA, coming to the African, which is black African tourism people who are dealing with tourism destination and other tourism related businesses, you will only find only the three winners of the tourism and emerging tourism entrepreneur of the year, which is called ETEA. You will never find other people except for those three top three winners. The rest will find those elite companies that are already established. So I would really appreciate if we can expand the number from three to many other tourism destinations, because there you'll find, I don't want to name the hotels, but you'll always find big, big established hotels, but not tourism destinations which are black owned. I think I will also pause there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Sure.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I also thank Brand SA for the presentation. It's good that they responded to our call. The CEO has just said other people here in South Africa do not know that they exist. Do not know what they do, do not understand how they do it and why they do it. Now that they have been invited to this committee to make a presentation, there are some of questions that we can ask them, but they must start marketing themselves first. One of the presenters has just highlighted, mentioned those mini tunes. How do we make sure that in your marketing of South Africa, you are able to trace where that Zozibini comes from? Because she is now Miss Universe. She comes from South Africa. How then do you trace the small village where she comes from, so that that little village can benefit out of producing that little girl? And also, I am interested in understanding your sources of information. Sometimes you can have a source of information which is just a book in the library. But when you trace the original source, it is your way of getting to those small dorpies, because you want the real source. So that those people who know, who were there before, can understand that they can be taken seriously, because they are real sources of information. In your presentation, there is a mention of Port Elizabeth. You see, when you say Port Elizabeth, I just think before 1994. Now, there's after 1994, there is a mention of Nelson Mandela Metropolitan what. How do you then link the Kunu village where the legend comes from, so that that small village can also be known? Let me come to the fact that you are one of the communicators. When there are so many communicators, there can be confusion. How do you do damage control when there are negative messages? How do you do damage control then, when there are areas of disagreement? I think in my other points I've been covered by the latter speaker. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, yes. Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. The presentation is descriptive in the sense that it talks a lot about what you've done, why you do it, how it's done, where it happens. There's not a lot of empirical information about the numbers. So what I'd like to ask you is, do you, for example, have a target in mind for what percentage of target visitors ought to be aware of our brand, what you'd like them to know about the brand, whether in fact you're reaching those targets? One would like to get a sense of where you would see yourselves or like to be, and whether in fact your efforts in pursuing all these activities have got you close to that point, or perhaps even exceeded it. I don't get the sense from the presentation that there's a quantifiable analysis as to what the actual numbers ought to be in terms of brand recognition, brand positivity, target image in the recipient's minds, and how close you are to that. So that's my first question. What do you do to measure that, and are you coming up to your own expectations? The second thing is more specifically related to brand positivity. You mentioned at the beginning of the presentation a number of factors which have been mentioned by other members of the committee as well as being impacting negatively on Brand South Africa. SA Tourism used to quote figures at these presentations on our brand positivity, and they would country by country be able to tell us through parliamentary questions what the main drivers of a rise in brand positivity were, or perhaps the decline. I don't know whether you do that or whether you simply piggyback onto SAT, but since you mentioned it, I would have thought it would be quite useful to know at any particular point what the drivers are of our brand positivity, or those factors which are impacting negatively on that, what each factor would count towards in terms of, let's say there's a decline in brand. Is it because of GBV? Is it because of crime? Is it because of coronavirus? Whatever the case may be, at least six or seven things are mentioned today, so that we can track over time in different countries what are the main inhibiting factors of getting our brand positivity up and therefore attracting more tourists. I also think, lastly, through you, Chairperson, it would be useful to got that over a period of years in selected countries that you're interested in, that you feel we need to have that impact, so that we can actually see whether we are going forward or going backwards. It's easy to say right now in February, March 2020, coronavirus is having a huge impact indeed throughout the world. But what has the trend been over the last 10 or 20 years? Have we managed to, for example, reap a tourism dividend in terms of our positive impact that we created during the 2010 World Cup? Has it run its course now? Has gender-based violence, for example, eclipsed any positives we might have had? What are the long-term trends? Because then we can see the much clearer focus on whether we're going forwards or backwards over a medium to longer term. So the short-term things are important because it helps us to tailor our immediate marketing. But what are the long-term trends, and are there factors we can therefore identify that we need to address in order to get that graph constantly moving upwards in terms of measuring our brand positivity and therefore attractiveness to foreign tourists?
Thanks, Honorable Crumbo. That's it, Pete.
Oh, sorry.
Honorable Peter is ANC in the committee. He comes from the Eastern Cape.
Other than what I said, Chairperson, my apologies to arrive while the presentation was almost to the end. But the presentation is not new. I mean, it's not something that one cannot have one or two, the content of it. We, as the sixth administration, we want to take a different posture in terms of taking tourism forward. And I think my colleagues have already alluded to the fact that we want to promote villages, township, and of course small dorpies as one of tourist destinations. So in the past 25 years, there's not much that you have done in terms of branding South Africa and making sure that tourism is understood by especially your most disadvantaged communities. So my concern, if you look within the media space, there is some kind of a narrative that is being driven or pushed that South Africa is one of the bad countries, and we look at small incidents, some incidents that takes place with your xenophobic attack, anything that comes to play within the media space, we tend to, I mean, make it something that will drive, you know, the tourists away from South Africa. So I think we need to educate our communities without shelving anything bad that is happening, but at least to have a sense of pride and make sure that at least we do talk positive about our country. So, and my question around that, what is it that we can do to make sure that at least South Africans understand that they are here to stay? South Africans are here to stay no matter what. So it's our role and duty. We're duty bound to promote South Africa, correct whatever wrongs that are taking place in the country. I think we are the most enemies of ourselves as South Africans, and we're hurting the brand of South Africa. Something that we need to look at. Now, my question is, how do you make sure that at least we change the status quo? But also, I can also advise that in the past 6 months, if you could just try and retrieve our resolutions, or, you know, as this new committee, see what is it that, what is our plan, what is our foresight, where do we, you know, want to take tourism you know, in the next 3-4 years, and see if you cannot align, you know, that with of course the means of trying to blend South Africa. Thanks very much.
So, Honorable April, Honorable April is ANC. You remember the one we indicated that she will be slightly late to the meeting. I don't know if you have something to say.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Hein April. My apologies that I arrived late to the meeting. I am busy reading through the presentation in Ndwa, but I think I'm very well covered by my colleagues. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Alfred. Just from my side, Brenda saying, and thanks very much for the presentation, and also thanks for proactively indicating that there's always collaborative initiatives between yourselves and other important institutions and bodies which seek to make sure that Brand SA is sustained and grow. Right. So thanks for saying that upfront. Now, just a few things. The others will be in the form of suggestions. The resilience of any country, its most important pillar is its people. Now, what it means is that we will have to be very clear, consistent, systematic, relentless on educating South Africans about how we must protect the brand, sustain the brand, and grow the brand. So it might be important for Brand SA, I'll make an example, to work with the Department of Education and say, how do we educate young people from a very early stage of their lives on the basics of maintaining Brand SA, so that as they grow older, they know that part of them becoming responsible citizens is to do things that will sustain and grow the brand. So it will be a massive campaign for me, which I think, because you are more of a lobby kind of a structure, lobby the Department of Education to infuse into activities that take place through the education system the need for young people, for scholars, for pupils, for students to be proud about their country and what are the things that they need to do to be proud about their country, therefore becoming patriotic. The second thing is about the relationship between yourselves and SAT. You will realize that matter comes up from time to time. And in the presentation, it's not very clear on, in a very structured, systematic way, how do you relate with the South African tourism. Yes, it's clear here that when there are activities, you work together. But I think you can take it further and look at a more structured relationship between yourselves and SA Tourism in a complementary manner, because I think it's important for that to happen. The other thing which I think is important, and I've not had you getting into it into detail, is around the media in South Africa. How you are engaging the media in South Africa to promote positive Brand SA without hiding the truth about South Africa and its realities, but to create a positive narrative and a positive posture. So I've not heard from Brand SA how you engage different media houses on on the narrative that we want to share throughout the world about South Africa. Because in my view, we should be able to send a message that says, notwithstanding these challenges about South Africa, we still remain a destination of choice for two things: tourism and investment. Right? Consistently, we remain a destination of choice. So that when issues are raised about how do you think you remain a destination of choice, you can then elaborate on those particular things for tourism and investment. Right? Those challenges that you were naming there: xenophobia, load shedding, crime, unemployment, and the new kid on the block, corona virus. That notwithstanding these, we remain a destination of choice. And in detail, this is what makes us to be a destination of choice. So that when people come here, they can see the reality of indeed us continuing to remain a destination of choice. So I think engaging the media will be very important, because the South African media, in pursuit of, they say it was investigative, unrelenting, and uncompromising journalism. In the course of that, our media does contribute to the damage of the brand in South Africa. So it may be important for you to show them in quantitative and qualitative terms when you engage them, that we are not saying we want to control how you do your work, but look at the extent of the damage that you do in how you report. Not that you shouldn't report, like it's how you report, not reporting, how you package the story and sell it to the rest of the world. The other point is about local municipalities. I saw there about brand building, brand positioning, and so on. But I think it will be important to engage much deeper, again, in a very structured manner through COCTA with municipalities in the country. I'll give you an example. As a committee here, we have come to the conclusion that whilst tourism constitutes an important role player in the economy of South Africa, when you look at LED, local economic development, for almost 98% of municipalities in this country, very little attention is given to issues of brand that must create or induce tourism. So if you can have some structured relationship with them, it will be helpful, so that each municipality in South Africa must know that permanent in the agenda must be safeguarding the brand, growing the brand, sustaining the brand. It doesn't feature in the discussions in the municipalities. It's a by the way kind of a matter there. So it will be good for tourism. Not tourism as a brand, as a to try and look at that particular matter. I also think that you may want to suggest, I don't know to who, but I think you are well positioned in the presidency to work on packaging on a consistent basis the positive stories about South Africa, and collaborating with everybody else, and making sure that there's a schedule of communicating that to the rest of the world, right? So that we are able to neutralize these voices of negativity going forward as a team, you know? I think it will be very important for us to do that, to package and say, let every department, let every municipality, let the private sector, every company, package things that are positive about the country, and use very effective, efficient, reliable, dependable platforms of communication to communicate a positive story. So that people shouldn't think that that responsibility is Brand SA's responsibility. Right? It's everybody's responsibility and every institution's responsibility to do that. The other matter which I thought needs to be brought to your attention is what members have raised here. We think we are missing a big opportunity, and I like it because you are indicating the history, culture, ingredients that we could use for branding. We are missing an opportunity to package and brand every village in South Africa, because every village has got unique characteristics, right? Based on their history, on their culture, on heritage, right? To package the story of every village in this country, to package the story of every township. There were no townships in this country at some point in our history. So they got to be created over time. It means every township has got its own unique story, which should be packaged so that it can then help in strengthening the brand, so that people can know all over the world that South Africa is not only Cape Town and Johannesburg and Durban. That these cultures that we are talking about, their genesis is in the villages, and that when you arrive in that village, the people who can tell you the story better, unrefined, will be your senior citizens there. Right? So that's the brand, the South Africa. So those will be the realities about the dynamics of our culture, our tradition, our heritage, which can then be packaged village by village. We have said this as a committee to SAT, as a tourism, that we think focusing on village by village in every township through this country and packaging the opportunities that are there and converting them into something real for the people will help in enhancing South Africa. You know, the other day in the same room here, we called the Chinese, the office of the ambassador, to come and discuss corona. Before he talked about corona, this is where he starts. He says, we are happy to announce to the committee that as Chinese, we have embarked on a program to make sure that we have zero poverty in China. And he gives you the numbers. This is where poverty was in this year. And they say in 2020 we are left with 5 million people who are trapped in poverty, and by the end of the year they will be out of poverty. That's before he speaks about corona. Right? He starts by relating the story about poverty and how they have eliminated poverty in the peripheries of China and the cities. How they took an initiative where there are smaller villages to relocate them so that they can deal with this particular poverty. That's what I'm saying. We will have to, I know it's not your decision, but you will have to lobby to make sure that there is packaging of positive achievements. Right? Package them nicely and make sure that what is positive percentage-wise becomes more than what is negative about the country, so that people can say, okay, I can still go and invest in that country despite what is happening there. I can still go and visit this country despite what is going there. I'm sure that some members here one day when corona is gone, they'll want to visit China to hear the story about this poverty and how it has become from where it was. So it's because Chinese have invested in packaging the story about how they are dealing with this poverty thing. Even the corona when you listen to other countries and you listen to China, their focus is more on the strides they have made in containing the virus and how the virus is decreasing. They're even communicating the story about efficiency on infrastructure development. So in the context of Corona, they tell you about how from an infrastructure perspective they're able to build a hospital in 10 days. So it's saying to an investor who has got money, actually if I want construction to take place quickly, I should be looking at the East. But you see what they are using? They are using a platform of Corona to communicate a message of efficiency around infrastructure development. So those are the things that we should be looking at, and we should be saying, how do we surpass them in terms of packaging our message, our positive message, so that we can have this prosperous South Africa which our forefathers and mothers have fought for. Over to you, Frank.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members, for the good questions. And what we're going to do is that we will share the responses amongst ourselves, and even the colleagues who didn't present per se, if there is a question, they will then take it so that we can have an open discussion and make sure that we cover as many questions as we can. So even Mr. Lumko Mtimbe, who is the advisor to the minister, will also, if there are questions that he can take, but also our Ms. Zanele, that is from entity oversight, if there are questions, but we'll try as much as we can to respond to the question. Chairperson, you were right when you started. You said most of the issues that the chairperson was raising were issues like giving us input on how we can improve, which we appreciate. And we have seriously taken note on what we need to take forward and make sure that we make this work, this particular plan. Of importance, Chairperson, that you also raised, which I always raise, but because maybe my voice is too soft and I'm soft as well, is the issue of the communication and the branding of this country is not up to brand as A only. That people just look at Brand South Africa, you are not doing this.
Yeah.
You went to Davos and somebody else made an issue in Davos about this Brand South Africa. It's easy for people to say that. But are we there when these type of issues are discussed, when strategies to say this is where we want to take the country, because we need to be, so that we can know exactly what is it that we need to articulate. We must not just come right at the end and then immediately we can make miracles to happen. So thank you very much, Chairperson. But also the issue of branding villages, it's a very important issue so that people can know South Africa. But of course it goes to the issue of the budget. It becomes key. But if we have a good story and we have a good case, I'm sure Treasury can listen to us to make sure that we are able to turn around. Issues of your local municipalities, we have started as Brand South Africa, we invited also in a meeting as late as last week also to deal with the issue of the district development model, and that to say exactly what is it that Brand South Africa needs to do. And I must say that I really appreciated to be part of that discussion, because as we are putting our plans in place, it's important for our plans to be focused into the bigger mandate of government as to what is it that government wants to do. In terms of numbers, because when we came here, I must say this up front, we tried to package our presentation based on the brief. But most of the information that has been raised here is things that we do. We have a very rich research unit in the organization. They will be coming next week but to our portfolio committee to talk about numbers. How do we rank? For instance, I spoke about brand disabler, but our top five, for instance, what is it? Because we have what you call the media monitoring. That is where we know where do we stand. And we are able to track all that, that South Africa is here now, South Africa is here now. For instance, I'm safe to say that one, the top five of our brand positivity is the issue of the contribution to global governance, your AU, BRIC, peacekeeping and security. I can also safely say we are ranked the 18th for science and technology that is in the good country index. We are ranked number 2 in the open budget index, improved on the World Economic Forum global competitiveness. We are 47 of 141 countries in the quality of our roads, and also in the finance system, number 19 in 141. So those are some of the issues that we will be able to bring to the fore, because I would understand that based on the question, we are able to go back, repackage, and be able, so we will be regular visitors because of the way we work and the interdependencies between us and tourism, and also the SA tourism. Then there was an issue regarding the Brand South Africa and SAT. My response to that is that Brand South Africa, there was in the presentation, the acting CMO touched on the issue of the hexagon to say what is Brand South Africa, what do we look at? And when you look at SAT, their focus is on tourism only. And we are actually more than that, but we work together. But safe to say, my response to that at high level will be, there is this issue of SOE rationalization to exactly look into those issues, because someone will say, don't only talk about SAT, but there is Invest SA, but there is also a proudly South African, there is also this. So this SOE rationalization will assist us at that time to say, what is the look and feel of us without losing what is it that we want to do in terms of making sure that we grow this particular brand. It doesn't matter where we go to, whether it's vice versa, whether it's SAT coming this way, and but there should be a case for that. And that is what is actually happening at this moment with the SOE rationalization, which I know that Mr. Mtimde is actually, he knows more about it, that is happening, and at that particular time we will be able to participate. Yes, I spoke about the issue of the brand bleeding, and I also mentioned, and but there were other issues to say, what are we doing with those other issues? What I shared here were the top 5 drivers of negative sentiment over the 3 quarters, because that's how we report. But yes, the issues that were raised that we did not raise, it's not like we are sweeping them under the carpet. On the issue of the Nation Brand Forum, who attends? The Nation Brand Forum usually is attended by the stakeholders who directly and indirectly contribute to the promotion and marketing of South Africa. But further to that, we have a program in Brand South Africa called Play Your Part. It is our program that we do. And that is where you can see us, especially in the rural areas, where we encourage people to say, play your part, and we support them to make sure that whatever ideas that they have, they turn their ideas into current. That's what we always say. And we are there, and some of them will identify them, but some of them will identify them through the platforms here, like we are sitting here, and then we are told that we need, actually there is a school somewhere where we need to go in Friends South Africa to do this and to do that, and we make sure that we budget for that. And we have a unit, this unit that the GM, Ms. Mabuza Mbumi, is dealing with, because she's the GM of stakeholders, is for business, civil society, and government. So she does a lot of work to make sure that all the areas that were mentioned here, we are able to cover. But then the marketing part, then deal with the issues of your play your part. If you look at the play your part, it's a very, very, very interesting concept to make sure that we encourage all South Africans to play their part. But in areas where I have left, most important issues and aspects that will help the committee to understand more what is it that Brand South Africa is about. But taking into consideration that our presentation for today, we just make sure that we align with the points that we're given. We're told to say what is Brand South Africa, what is our relationship with DECO, and we're also asked to say what is it that we do in terms of tourism. So we just, especially abroad, that was what we were asked to do, and we really made sure that we're talking to them. But the more the questions were coming out of that, only if it was open, we were then going to be able to zoom into those areas, especially when we start talking about our issues of research. The research that we do, they rely on us. They, our colleague, who is Dr. Petros de Kock, You see him mostly on TV. He will tell you from A to Z about where is South Africa currently, how are we viewed, and where is Parliament in particular, how is our Parliament viewed in terms of all those numbers, in terms of the ranking. So I think that is what we need to do, to come back and give that type of presentation. I will give to Thembile, to Mpumi, and to Ntate Mthembile. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to give a response to Mr. Gumbi on the issue of micro influences. Without a doubt, that's what we do as Brand South Africa, because we know that's the approach or the strategy to get people to advocate on the brand. So how we do that is that we've got macro. We target macro particularly because they're experts in their particular field. So what we have is, for instance, on the issues of gender base, we will deal with people that are quite expert on that, people that are behind the scenes, civil society working that are on the ground. On the issues of the economy being downgraded, so we target specific economists that are going to be the voice of reason that South Africa is not thinking as such, but we are going through hurdles. So that's part of our strategy, but we also not forsake the micro. You see, there's more commitment in the macro because it's the work that they do, and they're more loyal. Other than when you find over the years that when it comes to micro, because of the numbers, so I'm talking about you people like Yosemites, they are really driven about money. When you say, can you please rally behind this brand, he first wants to find out how much money you're going to place. Because we are fighting against your giants of Unilever that are paying these guys sometimes like millions. But this is taxpayers' money, and our budget as marketing of Brand South Africa for both local and international is 80 million odd. And it's quite a huge mandate to fulfill with such a limited budget. So what we do, though, we do in kind. We say, choose a charity of your choice. Then what we do, instead of paying you, we play our part as an entity. Then we contribute the 20,000 to that particular orphanage. That's what has been our strategy, even when we do adverts and we rely on people that are micro. So to answer your point on the gender-based violence, last year we did a campaign, which we're hoping we do here and there during Heritage, where we called it a game of heritage and unity. Then, if you remember, there was a spurge on foreigners against foreign nationals at that time. So we got your Casper, your vest, people that are quite influential in sports, in creative arts, to play soccer against each other. And then also we got your ordinary South Africans to give them that opportunity. That worked very well in terms of promoting what African unity needs to look like and what people need to advocate in as far as the gender-based violence. So that's part of our strategy ongoing at Brand South Africa, because we've seen that it works, which is why the CEOs know those are macro influencers. Those are the owners of businesses that have decided to come into South Africa and invest. So they advocate, and what we do then, we take those adverts, we place them in your BBCs, you know, reaching like 400 million households, in your CNBCs. We target. So we also use targeting based on what the World Bank says, for instance, the report, and also based on what our research industry says. The World Bank will tell you which economies are growing in double digits. And then we look at how we pair on how we are seeing those from a perception point of view and from a performance, and then we target those. So, for instance, you'll find us saying in that particular quarter we'll focus in Bangladesh, and then we go into the, you know, Asian economies because they are growing and so forth. So that's part of our strategy. Do we invest in social media? Absolutely, we do. There is, in fact, there are two indices that are quite crucial when it comes to following social media, and the fact that social media now is a do or die of what builds brand reputation. It's a Bloom Country Index. There's also a Digital Country Index, and they tell you that the sentiments, they're really around trust. So there was a question again, what are the critical things? It's trust, it's esteem, it's feelings. People are looking to tour and invest in areas where they feel safe. So we look at all those components and we say, how do we package them in our messaging when we promote South Africa? And I believe we do address that in our messaging. But what we're not doing enough is getting more stakeholders to rally behind that consistent voice so that there's more impact. So again, it goes down to the KPIs. What we need in an ideal country, when you see Sweden and how they've done, because people are quick to quote UK, how UK is great and in India is incredible. They've got a strategy. Their strategy is simple. The KPIs are aligned from the top all the way down. So which means everybody that is promoting a brand must adhere to those, and they know in their APPs it's very clear. And here, we don't have such KPIs. Because if we had such KPIs, we wouldn't have a contrast in us trying to build a brand, and then we find media reporting absolutely negative. You know why? Because they are focused on the press freedom index. We rated, I think, that's one out of 141 countries there. So they pride themselves about throwing the dirty linen, if I may call it like that, because that's the press index that they follow. So our job is to host this media house, both community radio stations as well as your LNC, if I may call it, the one that reaches the upper bracket, where we host them at Brand South Africa. We give them a master class, tell them the reason to believe, the top drivers of reputation of South Africa, so that they can then write the stories. And we negotiate that if we host, it's not free lunch, there's no such thing as free lunch. You have to write those articles. And the same thing is done through thought leadership in other markets where we found, for instance, our country managers will find voices in US and similarly the one in UK, where they'll be the champions of our messaging. Because sometimes if it's just Brand South Africa talking to people, it's not believable. So the same approach is then used with media. We have once a quarter, two media engagements, and we target even including the your foreign correspondent media. Because we know they are the first, the culprit is a person, Fox TV editor that's based in South Africa, that's going to go and report negatively on the brand, but they are based here. So our job is then influence on those, and there is a program under our media and communications program that directly deal with that. The other question was on the reputation, which I think the CEO has touched on. And then I've also touched on the media. The issue of branding South Africa, it is quite an enormous task, I must say. The CEO has touched on it. If one were to do a business case, and I think that's something that should have been done at the formation of South Africa, because the vision behind an entity like Brand South Africa is precisely to build a brand inside out. Start with your people inside. Yeah. But you have to have the resources that are enough and stakeholders that are buying into that vision so that it's not eroded, but it's very clear that from bottom up and top down we are all talking the same thing. Sometimes it's not always the case. That's why we re-emphasize by these quarterly engagements with stakeholders, which include by far your tourism. Again, if one were to compare apples with apples, if you take, for instance, Durban, take their marketing budget and you take Brand South Africa, it's absolutely bloated, and they are a municipality, but we are a country brand. So that's why I'm saying this thing would have to be started from scratch. So if in an ideal world, having learned from the developed economies and what they've done when building their brand, and those are going to be the indicators of what we will need to do, and that's the exercise I think even our new trustees are looking at doing.
Okay. Before we continue, before I give the chairpersonship back, it was given to me, before I give it back, please remember that there is no Mr. Kumbi here. It is Honorable Kumbi. So don't forget that. I'm giving back the chairpersonship now.
I just know.
If I may add Chairperson, Honorable Gombe, just to also respond around your questions around the missions and support structures provided to missions and what protocols are followed. I think I mentioned in my private presentation that first of all we start with engaging with heads of missions before they go out. It's important for us to take them through the training. And the master class that my colleague Simbi mentioned just highlights the manner in which the country should be branded and promoted, especially visually, how the rationale around the country logo, why it's a country logo, how we got there. And that part is important for our colleagues in the missions to understand. We also have a toolkit that's available online. We are a small team, but we are able to guide and support missions as they plan their marketing platform participation. What we've been able to do successfully through the MasterCard, if I can give an example, is with, especially with foreign economic representatives that promote investments within missions, through the work that we've done with the DTI, we honestly, I think, are comfortable in saying that we've achieved an alignment level, a good alignment level. They understand the importance of looking at the country holistically and promoting it in that manner. What the missions are challenged with is, it's been referred to already, for instance, you may find this week Trade and Investment KZN in Germany promoting certain aspects that the province has to offer, and then the next week you find Buschbach Ridge Municipality in Germany, same audience talking about. So there's a lack of alignment that we have to do, and the chairperson also mentioned it, and we need to maybe start at the top and ensure that we that message goes through. I'll try and respond also, or just touch base a little bit on some of the other comments in terms of also reflecting on our history and heritage and culture. The Honourable Kumba also spoke about days of national significance, which we do honour and celebrate as Brands of Africa. We definitely do that. Those are an important element of what drives our programs. We look at our history. When we engage, for instance, we'll go out to campuses and talk to students in various campuses and look at the constitution, the values that it offers, the values that it offers, the rights that they have based on the constitution, but also looking at the history of it and the responsibility that comes with those rights. So we do try and engage. We have face-to-face engagements. Our work is not just about the marketing of it, but we try and reach out to communities and go out to different areas and different provinces and engage face to face to promote those programs and those elements. And for us, Honourable Kumba, in terms of participation, for instance, in WTM and ICB, we as Brands of Africa, we rely on South African tourism because that's their strength and that's their strong point. So, but comments and feedback taken, I think it's something that we can, it's good for us to understand that there are other areas that need to be prioritized.
There was just another question from Honourable Clive on Zosibini. So Brands of Africa would be very pleased to know that we're instrumental working with the managers of Ms. Tunzi in terms of bringing her. So we hosted a welcome session at OR Tambo, so together with management as well as Department of Arts and Culture. But not only that, we even funded in the collaboration of taking her to her own village and interviewing the class teacher, because as she was visiting home, she also visited the high school, the school, the primary, and the mother where she teaches as well, her mother where the school that she teaches, and we got sound bites of those interviews. And what we do as Brands of Africa, we package them and then we place them on our social media platforms. But that's just not only what we do for the known. Like the CEO said, Play Your Part is a platform that we created deliberately to celebrate ordinary South Africans that are doing extraordinary work. And this ranges from your villages into your suburbs, because we don't want to give anyone. And in the past, if you were to follow Play Your Part, you will see that we have been in the villages, in the deep, deep. We go to the northwest, we go to the Sesheho villages, we just go even the Kongonyama in KZN, where you would never find a brand and think brand as it goes. But with our limited resources, we go there. But we also have Play Your Part ambassadors who become our voices when we're not there to carry on with the program and also identify other people that are not known that are actually playing their part. And I'm talking about people with following of 5,000 plus, but they are quite influential within their communities. And we then use our media partnerships. So a community radio, when there's a Play Your Part activity that is happening, they would want somebody who's local, not only because they speak the language, but it's very real and believable. So it goes far beyond just your Zosi. We also like to celebrate in the kind of unknown, the underdogs, because we believe those are the real game changers, to be quite honest. It's easy to believe somebody who is your neighbor,
then somebody who's a celebrity, because you think, no, that one is already has is connected. But when I start to show people that are just ordinary, it actually changes perception completely. And that's what Play Your Part is all about. And it's our job as Brands South Africa to get everyone to be Play Your Part ambassadors, including the honorable members here, because the job is really to advocate positively on behalf of the brand. First and foremost, it's the country. Then secondary, it's the other bit, which I won't get into. But first and foremost, we are all part of South Africa.
Sure. Oh. Thanks. I think my colleagues have covered largely all the grounds, but maybe just to touch base on just three areas I think Honorable Mteka spoke to, which partly I think the very questions from other honorable members and the comments and the suggestions from the chair were beginning to answer these questions, like the strategic location of Brand SA in the presidency, where it reports to a department which is GCIS, which is a government communication system department. So it just strategically, it then enables that point that the chair was speaking to of the suggestions on how to strategically partner from a communication point of view. That location is already a value add in that regard. The second part on the SOE rationalization, I think the CEO has already spoken to. The SIC admin has been focusing on this through the program, the National Macro Organization program. And I think you have seen a number of changes in terms of the numbers of departments, ministers, entities as well. So there is work that is taking place in that regard. Lastly, Honorable Mutega, I think partly the chair also answered this question, and Honorable Peter, we do need to be our own positive ambassadors of our country. I assume most of us come from these villages and dorpies. Certainly my village, which is Benyani in Alfred and Zoe in the same case, is not the same as it was in 1994. It's not. There wasn't electricity, there wasn't water, there wasn't a post office, there wasn't a clinic, there wasn't a school in the manner it is now. The roads, a whole number of things, including social grant access by our elderly to some government support, kids and elderly able to go to clinics for free. There's a lot that happened post 1994. But of course, there is a lot more that still needs to be done. So surely from that point of view, we agree that there is a lot more that still needs to be done. But we should be able to communicate the positive things that have happened. South Africa post-94 is not the same as South Africa before 1994, but we remain having challenges. Maybe let me end by saying, Chair, we take to heart the ideas shared here. Fortunately, from a timing point of view, we are finalizing our APPs, and the minister is going to be coming back to yourselves through the budget vote. So some of these ideas are coming handy so as to input through those processes, and you'll see your ideas taking shape in terms of the programs of government going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Just before we come to issues of way forward and closing,
I'm sorry to cut you, Chairperson,
yes.
Especially if you're going to be closing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to touch on just two issues that I didn't hear some responses to. And those are a response around the canned lion hunting. So I understood that the response to the other issues is that you need industry persons And maybe the thing I want to understand is, do you have one specifically around the Kent line hunting, because it is a specific issue, and I understand these budgetary constraints, especially if you've got 18 million, right? But I obviously would like to know if you don't, or if you do, and maybe if it's got to do with budgetary constraints, on Kent line hunting in particular, and, now I was writing these notes here, and I can't find it. And coronavirus, sorry, yeah, thank you.
Okay, that would be it.
Chairperson, I think most of my questions are covered. Only about the issue of Orania. It's not a laughing stock. To me, it's painful. I was there over the weekend, for your information's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Community of plus minus 1,600.
On a short left.
Is trying. Is trying to establish a country inside the country on a background or on a ground of racism. That must be a problem to sort of enjoy. Thank you very much. So I was asking, is it not part of, not inside this, on top of the scaring thing? That's my observation.
I'm sure it will be slightly difficult for them to deal with Orania.
Yeah.
But what they can deal with, I think, is the corona and the lions, hunting. The committee had agreed that it will go to Orania. So we'll come back to Orania. It will take us some time, The genesis of Orania is Cortez.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah? And then in the Constitution of the Republic, there's a clause there that makes some provision for self determination. I think politically what we'll have to deal with is whether there are groupings within the country that are exploiting that window of opportunity in the Constitution in a negative way, and that belongs elsewhere. So we'll deal with it elsewhere. Unless you want to venture into it, but I'll give you to respond. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair. You actually assisted us with that report. But safe to say, this is just one example of issues that we get faced with, and answers are needed, and sometimes we don't have those answers. But it's something that we look at the brand holistically to say whatever activity or action that is happening, how does it impact the brand, and we then try to, because that question, we may look at it here, but it's a question that can come to us at a global stage.
Yeah.
Somebody, after presented about the brand, how good you are doing, then somebody zoom and say, can you please tell us about this? So it's good that you keep us on our toes, that we need to think about the issues, whether uncomfortable or not.
Mm-hmm.
On the issues of the lions, Ms. Mabuza will respond to that, because there is some work that was done by our research unit, and we take guidance that we need to be more specific also moving forward on exercise, because it is an issue at hand, a topical issue. And Ms. Tembile will talk about coronavirus, not because she's got flu, but she's very good at corona.
Thank you, CEO. The issue around canine hunting has recently come into our space for the investigation, but what our high-level research then found is that as a brand, as Adler, it's not necessarily just the Kenley, it's just commercial hunting overall. So it's a difficult space to navigate, we acknowledge, because of the commercial and job creation elements part of it, but also you find not only tourists but investors generally have got personal concerns around commercial hunting as a whole. So it's an area that is new to us in terms of assessing and investigating. It has not featured in the top of brand disabled per se, but it's something that we are recently looking into. But in terms of commercial hunting, and we haven't specifically zoned in just on canine hunting, but just commercial hunting as a whole. So perhaps in the near future we'll be able to give a better response to that.
On Friday we actually met with the GCIS precisely because they are the mouthpiece of government, so regarding the corona. What we propose as Brands South Africa is a three-pronged strategy. One is going to focus on medical facts. Are affected around corona. So we are working, it calls us, GCIS, Brands South Africa, and the Department of Health to make sure there's an alignment in messaging. We get the real facts in terms of what has been done and what is currently the Chinese are doing about the corona. Like you were saying, they're communicating, focusing on the blueprint and what the blueprint will do going forward. We are latching on that and saying that South Africa, this is what we are doing. We believe that if we start by combining those facts, it will lead us to the second leg of the strategy, which is to say do not panic campaigns. So we've been on our social media amplifying the voice of Department of Health, re-emphasizing the fact that we won't be like Italy, it's not shutting down, the country's not shutting down currently, but giving people reasons to believe that are real based on facts in terms of what is happening. The third leg is always just to remain honesty, openness campaign. So currently we are at that do not panic campaign, whilst underpinning that with the honesty in terms of being updated. I mean, I think the minister has been very much alive and very much active in making sure that there's press briefing, that openness. That's what we need to do, continuous communication. So it is a three-legged approach that we have together, which is and the Department of Health are doing. Medical fact campaign, a do not panic campaign, as well as honesty and openness campaign. And those include in 360, so it's media interviews with radio, it's the digital, so as long as we are able to reach every South African, because largely they're under-communicated to the point that was made earlier, we also reach them to community radio to make sure that they are aware of what is happening. Thank you.
And based on that communication, it may be useful also to communicate the message later that says, when we graduate from that package, the most central message might have to become, we are ready.
Mm.
Yes, we are ready.
Mm.
South Africa is ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the we are ready, then we are able to show all these things, the hospitals, the nurses, the doctors,
yes,
the places of quarantine, self-isolation, achievement, the detection at the airport, the cabin, the numbers, and awareness to always show the number of people who are now becoming aware,
yeah,
in keeping their hands clean and whatever, and so that it can then transcend the globe. It will be a nice message. South Africa is ready. Now that we have done, we have laid the base. We are now ready. So we want to thank you for the contribution. And I think, honorable members, we, in the Constitution of the Republic, or before we go there, honorable Montes, you are right. Part of the things that the country has to deal with from a branding perspective is how to deal with building non-racialism,
mm-hmm,
and non-sexism. Mm-hmm. Right? So in that protracted program of dealing with non-racialism, to communicate a message that there will be this isolated, ongoing isolated inhibitors. An example may be incidents in the farms that are taking place, problems of racism in other working environments, your Orania, and so on and so forth. but also in building a non-sexist South Africa, that we are working on uplifting women in order to achieve a non-sexist South Africa. But it doesn't mean that women are not being raped on a daily basis. It doesn't mean that they are not being discriminated against, they face violence and so on and so on. So the protracted struggle. So you are right that Brent is saying them saying, when people say but there is this problem of violence against women, there is Orania and so on, is part of the construct of the challenges that South Africa faces in strengthening our democracy. So the overarching message should be, we are constructing a non-sexist society. And you can show where we started and where we are, despite what is happening in Orania. And that the politicians in government will always attend to this thing. I just wanted to say, I think it's also linked to this thing of building a non-sexist society. We have had presentations led here very ably, excellently, by three women. Right. Three women. Yes, Mbogoto. Yes. Austembile, Austempumi, Lememamansi, the three women here. I must say, and I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of the committee,
yeah,
that we are very, very highly impressed by how you prepared and how you presented the report.
Woman.
Yes. So we are also rebranded.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a committee. Right. And from now as a committee, and we understand better now. What the responsibility of Brent SA. It shows that indeed women can lead.
Malibongwe.
Yes, Malibongwe. Women can lead, and we must just say we commend you for the leadership you are providing, the three of you. I'm not saying the rest of the team. you did not play a role. I'm just saying we must commend the three women who were doing the presentations here. Today, the feedback you need to be giving back to the office, to the minister, and the rest of the collective there is that the portfolio committee on tourism is satisfied with the presentation you have made to the committee. Secondly, the issues that we raised, we have no qualms in how you responded to the issues that we raised. Thirdly, we made recommendations and we have been assured by the Brent SA that in the course of doing many other things, including annual performance plans, targets and so on, reporting and programs, some of the issues will be infused into the outcomes of those particular processes. Fourthly, that you appreciate the fact that while there's collaboration, this thing that we were talking about of rationalization, collaboration must be strengthened as we move forward, whether it's the Invest SA, Brent SA, SA Tourism, and the rest of them, proudly South African. And so collaboration should be strengthened, and if in the ultimate end, there will then be integration and single institutionalization at that particular level, the committee will also welcome that particular development in that regard, and that the committee is impressed by initiatives we are taking to make sure that we sell South Africa as a positive, thriving and triumphalist brand globally, a brand that is able to survive all kinds of challenges. And you know, the overarching, for me, the overarching ingredient in our brand is how we have transited from colonialism, apartheid to democracy. That we are a democratic country. So some things that you see as negative, it's actually because we are democratic. We are not suppressing things that are happening in the country, and we can compare. I mean, with other countries, including the one that presents itself as the best democracy in the world. I'm referring to America, yeah, the United States of America. So We appreciate that. Other than that, honorable members, I'm sure speaking on behalf of the team here, we are happy that you did come. It doesn't look like in the past there was an interaction between Brand-based AA and tourism committee. So we made that proposal last year because we saw overlaps. And so then we thought the best thing is not to make assumptions, is to talk to you so that we can then in that manner work together. So thanks very much. We'll also give the feedback to the Department of Tourism. As a committee. Travel safe back home, and we wish you all the luck in your strategic objectives that you are pursuing. So, Kopanwiso is the meeting is now officially